Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 120 of the IA Cast. My name is Michael Dowies, and man, I'm here with a big crowd today to talk everything WWDC. So with me today, I have Aaliyah Dudley.
It's a little too crowded in this room. I don't like it.
Jason Earls.
Hello, everyone.
Jeff Bishop.
Hello.
Victoria Gray.
Hello.
Sarah Lanier.
Hi, everybody.
And Megan Hargrave.
Why am I last?
Just happened that way.
Because someone had to be.
You know what they say, last is not least, Megan. Last is not least.
Right.
No.
So, man, we've got some interesting Apple news to talk about before we start the actual show today.
Yeah.
Before we get to the main content. And so let's start off with the first thing that happened, and that is new iPods.
New iPods!
Yay!
For the
Actually, I think the proper reaction is, huh?
For the few people that use them.
No, honestly, I think the iPod has gotten some decent upgrades. I mean, I was kind of hoping that it would get the A11, not the A10 Fusion, which is the CPU of the iPhone 7. But it has the same case as the previous iPod Touch, which means it also has a headphone jack. It still does not have Touch ID. The storage configurations are changed. You can now get them in 32, 128, and 256 gig storage sizes for $199, $299, and $399. And wasn't there something else?
They're I like colorful. Multiple colors.
Don't forget they're colorful.
They have a lot of colors.
Colorful. They've always been colorful. Didn't you?
Yeah, they have a lot of different colors. Most of them are the same, but I think they have a few new ones as well.
They're really meant for kids. But one thing, you know, and we'll talk more about this, but one really great thing about these devices is they're really good beta testing devices.
Yes, they are.
So if you're interested in jumping in on all of the fun coming out, you know, in the just in a day or two here, then this might be a way if you want to jump into this pretty inexpensively, even if you just bought the 32 gig version of it, to be able to test, say, iOS 13. So we'll talk more about that.
And the other thing that's really nice about these is that they're not just for kids. I use them, actually a lot of people use them in a business setting as point of sale devices. You could put a barcode scanning device on them and make them into a store inventory system, or you could use them as handheld CCTVs for low vision users, and they're perfect. They're $200 and they're a lot cheaper than the AT companies can provide, and now they have a new upgrade, makes them even more useful.
Or they could be a book reading device.
Yeah, they certainly can. Sorry.
Like a
or a music player for the gym.
Possibly.
Or the airplane.
That's a good point.
I use mine on the airplane a lot when I don't really want to burn up my phone's battery, because I know when I get there I need to have Uber and Lyft and all this stuff. So I'll just use my little iPod Touch to play music or, you know, just go on the airplane Wi-Fi and watch TV or whatever.
Now, that being said, it's very interesting that, you know, the iPod is so small I can like wrap my hand around it 8 times. Okay, that's an exaggeration, but
it's smaller than the SE. I mean, it's tiny.
Exactly.
They're 4 inches. But I think it's still interesting that there's no Touch ID. That's very peculiar. You'd think, I mean, I guess they're not planning for people to use that for security and have sensitive information on there, but you know, you could still add a passcode. It's just
I think they're trying to keep these as cheap as possible, and if they were to add Touch ID, it might bump up the cost a bit. And so, I don't think they're ever going to do it.
And maybe that's part of why they don't have the A11 or something like that. Maybe that's also
no,
part of keeping costs down.
No, because the 7's had Touch IDs, but I mean, yeah, I guess the A11 might have cost a little too much to produce in the iPods, but still, I think. I don't know. I wish they would have put the 64 gig model at the base price, not the 32.
I know, their storage configuration always confuses me. Like, it's I don't weird. Understand this whole 32 gig to 128 gig thing.
Why do they skip out 64 gig and, like, have 32
They
gig?
Do that on their phones a lot, too.
Yep.
Yeah, because now it's, what, 64, 256, and 512?
I think something like that, yeah. They skip the 128s, which is very weird.
So, it's very interesting, you know, hearing about these iPods, and I'm just glad the line isn't dead.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I think it also says a lot for older iPhones, like the 7, as far as their support is concerned, because if Apple's just making these iPods, they're, you know, going to presumably get updates for a while. So, you know, I think for somebody with the iPhone 7, I feel like the iPod says a bit about how long you're going to receive updates unless you've upgraded to a newer phone.
Can I bring up one issue with them, though, that I think is something I wish Apple would reconsider? And that is that you cannot use an Apple Watch with these devices.
Right.
Just like you can't, yeah, with an iPad.
Use it with an iPad.
You know, for someone who is elderly or someone like that, this is a really good combination where you could get an Apple Watch and an iPod Touch and really make it work, you know, and actually be something that would be feasible for those types of individuals.
So do any of you guys plan on buying one?
I might. I'm going to wait till tomorrow to see whether they're going to knock out the old iPod Touches out of the line of those that can get iOS 13. Because I use my iPod Touch as a training device. It's an easy device for me to take down to nothing to show somebody how to set up a device. It's super easy. I don't have a lot on it. It's just kind of a really almost... It's not a throwaway device, but the iOS on it is... throw away, so I can just kind of restart it whenever, and I don't have to worry about losing much. So I might. We'll have to see what tomorrow brings.
I'm debating it. Just as a music device, yes, I do have my iPad and stuff, but sometimes the iPad is way too big for me. Especially if I'm going on an airplane on a 2-day trip kind of thing. And I don't want to burn my phone's battery. I need something for music. So, or books or something. And if I were to get this 256 model, I wouldn't have to worry about storage. Because my phone is only 64. So, I wouldn't have to worry about that. Because I have 16 gigs of music on my phone. So.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, and I thought of...
Yeah.
I haven't made my mind up yet. But I have thought for a while now, off and on, about maybe getting an iPod and using it. You know, Aaliyah, I remember you and I were talking a while ago, not long after we posted John Moore's Olympus. I should know the model number.
LSP4.
I can't remember it. LSP, yeah. When we posted that show, I was thinking about potentially wanting to get an Olympus, and then I've been toying with the idea of getting an iPod, basically to be an Olympus.
Yeah, because with your Ambios,
to make recordings on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But
if
at the same
I had
time,
the extra
at least
cash, I would definitely get one. I'm sorry, Jason.
I thought I was done, but at the same time, I'm torn because you know I have enough storage for what I need on my phone. I don't need a lot of storage, and at least with my phone, I have that built-in internet connection to share the recordings to wherever I need. Which I wouldn't have on the iPod unless I were connected to Wi-Fi or using my phone as a hotspot. So, I don't know.
What about you, Jeff? Are you going to get one or pass?
I'm probably not going to get one. I have another device here that maybe I won't be able to use it. You know, it's going to all depend on what announcements come tomorrow, really, to be honest with you. As far as what devices live and die on the vine here for, you know, coming up with iOS 13. So ask me that tomorrow.
This device lives, that device dies.
We will be doing a wrap-up show, including we'll get on the server and describe the keynote. So if anybody wants to join, we may have ways for you to enjoy that. But... it's very exciting, you know, to see what is going to change tomorrow. We'll get to that here in a bit. But there's other news to be talked about as far as Apple. And that is that iTunes is dead and it's the end of the download era as we know it.
Oh, stop being such a clickbait person. Stop it. I really just want to smack you in the head right now.
I'm being sarcastic.
The LA Times article, everybody should go watch the Vector YouTube video.
Agreed. Yes. Go, and we're going to link to this in the show notes. Yeah, please go watch this video. That was unbelievable.
Oh, by the way, guys, you know, the Vector YouTube videos, they're also available as a podcast.
Yes, they are.
So if you don't want to watch them that way, you can subscribe and get them that way. So,
that's how I listen to
but,
them.
But, oh, man, he lays it out. It was awesome.
Yeah, he was mad, man. He was just like, no. it was great. And really, guys, the program iTunes might be dying. On the Mac, we don't know still what they're going to do about iTunes for Windows. We don't know a lot of things. And so this article is very much it actually quotes an article from Business Insider, I believe, or Bloomberg. It's one of the two. It quotes that Bloomberg article incorrectly. So it's just a bad write, guys. The era of digital downloads is not over. You're not going to lose your purchases. You're not going to lose any of this. Just breathe and wait for the keynote, where Apple will calmly and wonderfully and magically explain everything away. And it'll all
and how it's going to amaze you.
You sound like you're trying to hypnotize us.
Well, see, here's well. Isn't Apple trying to hypnotize us? But
that's true.
Good point.
Even if iTunes does die, you're still going to be able to download your purchases within other apps. Like, you're still going to be able to, you know, access podcasts that you've paid for in the Podcasts app, if that's what Apple decides to do. You're still going to be able to download, you know, when Apple took access to books out of iTunes, right, and made the iBooks app, you were still able to download those books that you've purchased in the Books app.
Well, I will say this, and people can disagree with me if you want, but I do feel like nostalgically it's the end of an era. It's the end of the branding of iTunes, and I feel like that is a big deal, but it doesn't mean that services and different things will change. It just means they're being rebranded and pushed into different areas, which includes a new app called Music that will not be a UIKit app, which is an iPhone app
The
Mac, but a AppKit app, which means it's a Mac App Store app, basically, made for Mac. And that app will still contain the ability to burn CDs, rip CDs, and do everything that you did in iTunes. It's just everything's going to be split. Now, what I'm curious about is what will happen to our ringtones and everything else that we did on to manage our phones.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. There's talk that that's going to stay in the Music app, which is kind of weird.
I read a rumor a while ago that Apple was supposedly, and I don't put much stock in this, and I don't remember who published it, but that Apple was supposedly making, there were two things. They were speculating that Apple was going to make a mobile device synchronization app that would handle your ringtones and everything else, and then the Music app would be the Music app, or they were going to make a specific app to sync your ringtones, and I can't see that. That just...
No, not now that iTunes, way you sync ringtones right now with iTunes is just weird, but, you know.
Well, maybe they'll improve that and put it back like it had been.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Before they broke it.
But it's interesting.
I'm kind of curious.
Go ahead, Megan.
Sorry, Mike. I'm kind of curious to see what happens with, restoring your devices and stuff.
Yeah.
We primarily use iTunes for that.
Right. We'll have to wait till tomorrow.
It'll probably... Yeah, we'll obviously have to wait till tomorrow, but I suspect it would be a function of the music app, possibly.
I kind of hope they split it out of music, just because it just doesn't fit.
No, well, that's what I was going to say. It would sound weird. It sounds weird to it's weird to think of it like that, but I don't know. I wonder what they would call that app.
Maintenance utility, maybe?
Possibly.
I don't know. This is Apple we're talking about, not Microsoft.
Well, they already have an app called iOS Configurator, which is used for other things. But,
I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
In Windows, they call it the iPhone Mobile Configuration Tool or something like that. But it's mainly used for adding profiles and different things to your phone. So I wonder if they may expand that. And you actually have to go download it, I think, on Windows.
I'm going to make a prediction. I think the music app is going to have all of the features that we have today for doing the restoring of our devices and managing all of the things we're syncing and all of that. That's going to be in the new music app. That's at least my guess.
That would be really weird, though, because it's not all music when you're like syncing and that.
So, do you guys think that music is just going to be iTunes rebranded? And have other stores removed?
I think so. I think it might look pretty similar.
I really want it to be different, though. Like, I mean, as far as its design is concerned, like, I kind of want a different design.
So, that's what we know about iTunes. And, in the past, we've been seeing them make steps towards this. So they used to have a thing called iTunes Connect, where you managed your podcasts, you managed your apps, you managed everything. And they broke those off into different sections, like App Store Connect, Podcasts Connect, and others. So they've also changed parts of their social media accounts and moved things to the music social media account. So, it's interesting to see the changes, and we don't know anything until tomorrow, but obviously Apple is making changes, and we will just have to find out tomorrow. We usually have an ad at this point, but we want to go ahead and just jump right in the discussion, because this is I love new devices, but this is also Apple Christmas for me.
Yeah, you're a developer. Of course you have to say that. Come on.
So tomorrow, WWDC is going to be amazing.
I'm excited. I'm ready.
So let's start with iOS. Wait. Let's start with iOS. iOS 13.
Ooh, unlucky 13. Is it going to crash all our devices on beta?
Let's hope not.
Let's hope not.
Ooh, that would suck.
So
that really would be unlucky.
Remember, there is a culture that believes 13 is the lucky number, right? Well, let's go with that.
Yeah. But remember, like, when iOS 12 wasn't it 12 that made some devices unusable when you tried to reset it back to the 11 beta?
Or 11, yeah.
Yes.
Or 11,
I believe
11 stable?
So it was either 12 to 11. No, I think it was 11 to 10, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. It was rough.
I don't remember, but it was one of those. It was, because it happened to me.
But... basically, and there are places at Apple that say, if you install this beta, do not go back. I mean, you can do it, but it's risky. I have seen a lot of times where they say that on their documentation. So, basically, this year is an iPad year. So, every other year, they focus on the iPad, it seems. So... I'm going to be installing this on my iPad Pro. I'm very excited about it. And we're expected to get a lot of new features.
Like mouse support.
Mouse support.
Yes.
And that's going to be an accessibility feature, is what we're hearing.
Which is interesting. Kind of like auto brightness is an accessibility feature. It feels like for no reason, but also then...
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of... Yeah.
But the reason why they're doing this is, and Apple has come out and said that accessibility is not just about blindness or hearing disabilities. It's about customizing your device so it works best for you. And that seems like one of those settings. It's also being said that accessibility might be moved to the front page in settings.
I'll be happy about that.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be wow. really interesting. Wow.
That would be brilliant.
I would less taps to get the Braille time... settings. Yes, please.
Right, and it wouldn't be the first time that Apple moved it either, because they moved it up the list in general settings for iOS 11?
Yeah, I want to say it was 11.
There's also talk...
I thought it was 10.
There's also talk that... the volume indicator visually is not going to be as prominent on the screen.
Oh, weird.
Huh.
It'll be more like Androids.
I wonder how VoiceOver will...
But what I'm hoping for, I would like that battery indicator that has a dialogue just to be a notification with a sound.
What?
When you have a low battery?
When your device is at 20%.
See, I want the dialogue for the 10%. That's
I
want
to be able to set that in preferences. Like, Yeah.
Because like, the iPad tells you at 10 and 5, and the phone tells you at 20 and 10, so weird.
Yeah. And I also, like, I also want to be able to...
Yeah.
Right, and I also, I want to be able to set... whether it shows me a dialogue or whether it shows me a banner or something. Like, I want to customize that. Yeah, it should
be in notification settings, I think.
Because it's if you're playing a game or doing something, it's very intrusive, just especially online games, where you can't pause to just be like, oh, low battery, you died.
Right, or reading an article in Apple News, you know?
Yeah.
Especially
or even
voiceover.
If you're just on the phone.
Yeah,
yeah, but at least it doesn't stop your conversation. But at least it doesn't stop your conversation.
Depending on how distractible you are.
And depending on how quiet the other person is talking.
Right.
If that, you know, when VoiceOver jumps in and goes, your phone battery is at 20%.
No battery!
No power mode! Close button. And if you're talking to someone who's using a headset, depending on the quality of their headset, you may not be able to hear them.
That yeah, that's fair because it does kind of duck even if you have audio ducking disabled when mm-hmm. in calls sometimes when VoiceOver speaks.
So, I'm really excited to see what we get, as far as you know those kind of things, but also the iPad is supposed to get multi-window support.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, and also a revamped Files app. So. I'm kind of interested to see if this is going to give us more Finder-ish support on the iPad.
I would love that.
That would
so
be
much.
That would be
and
so
I also
nice.
Would love,
that
I
would also be want, brilliant.
I also want all of the Finder keyboard shortcuts because we have some of them, but we don't have all of them.
Right.
And I think we should be able to use up and down arrow. I don't know if it visually works, but with VoiceOver, up and down arrow in the Files app does not... highlight each individual file name like it does in Finder on the Mac. I want that functionality when I have a keyboard on my iPad.
Well, and also
I feel like we should have functionality of like a Mac, like with, when it comes to hotkeys and stuff with the keyboard with an iPad.
I think that's
well,
coming.
Doesn't really have a lot of hotkeys.
I think that's coming.
I mean, you know what I mean, though, Jason.
Not. Really, actually.
Well, I mean, like, being able to hit VOD to go to the dock, or...
Oh!
Different things like that.
Okay. Yeah, now I'm with you. And I could sort of see that, and I guess that Apple figures you can just touch the screen, but, you know, just to your point, I just got a new keyboard case from Amazon yesterday, and one of the commands I wasn't able to use was VO function down arrow and up arrow to open Control Center and Notification Center respectively, and I didn't realize how much I used those keyboard commands when I could have just done it using my touchscreen until I wasn't able to use them, so I very well might end up using VOD if they were to add that command.
And my it's thing just is
little things like that.
I would also like them to add multipath audio, so multi, you know, where I could have a book and a video game, or a book and team talk going at the same time, or music.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah,
nice.
I want that.
That would be, yeah. I would love that.
So that apps wouldn't ever have to completely take control of the device audio.
Yes.
Yeah,
I would love it. I would love it if they would fix it so that if you're reading something, say a status on Facebook, for example, and you get a notification, it doesn't make it so that you have to completely start reading the status over again to understand.
Oh, that is so irritating.
It used to work, and it's still broken.
How does that work on Android, Aaliyah?
I wish.
It waits, I believe, to tell you until it's finished, at least on my Pixel.
Why can't iOS do that?
I wish there was a way in VoiceOver settings to customize, because you can already customize when it speaks notifications. And I wish in, I mean, you can like have it always speak or not always speak, but I wish that in that area of VoiceOver settings, you could say interrupt. It would of course be more elegant than this, but interrupt VoiceOver speaking to tell me about notifications on or off. I would turn that off, and then it would always wait until after it was speaking whatever utterance it was speaking at the time before reading the notification.
See, for me, it's 50-50 when it does that. Sometimes it will finish reading the post before it tells me the notification, and sometimes it won't.
I feel like if you're... It's a matter, in my experience, when you're telling it to read from where you are to the end, that's when it might wait. Because I feel like if I'm flicking to something or touching something on screen, it's always going to interrupt for a notification.
Interesting. I don't know. I'd have to play around with it.
I think it might have something to do, too, with the length of the post, but I'm not 100% sure about that, because it just usually interrupts it for me no matter what, and that just drives me bonkers.
So
yeah, I know what you mean.
I know this isn't as big of a deal for a lot of you guys, but something I'm looking forward to is dark mode.
Like we
just captured your thoughts on that.
I guess we already had that.
No, we have what's called Smart Invert, which does not always catch everything. So this will be something that developers implement to change their app to look dark.
Why is that such a big...
I guess I was thinking of Night Shift maybe or something, because I thought there was possible. Something you could... That you could turn on
We blind people have a dark mode. It's called screen curtain. But
that's a completely dark mode.
Yup.
I don't think
that's
that
a
was
midnight
what he
mode.
Is.
That's what that is.
But Michael, you know, for other people who might be curious, why is dark mode causing people so much excitement? Like, why, what is it about being able to have a dark mode that makes people happy?
Other well, than, that's the well, hype there, Mike.
What it does is, it is, so it's like Smart Invert, but developers can change the colors to be a certain way in their app. So up until now, developers had to build it into their app. I built a high contrast mode that does something similar in the ACB Link app that I built. And you turn on high contrast and it changes the entire app through the programming, not through the OS. And so basically it's Smart Invert. You're left up to the OS to decide how things are going to look. So if you have a blue background in your app, it's going to turn it orange or whatever other color. If you have, you know, an image, it will still look good, but anything white will turn black. Anything black will turn white, and it just inverts. It's an inversion. Whereas a proper dark mode will do full transition to a good high contrast look.
So it makes the background kind of darker so that you can focus
better. Yes, it makes it to where you can see it easier. App. Some people with low vision have difficulties reading black text on a black on a white background, and so it helps with people being able to see.
To me, it sounds like there's not really that much difference, but
there is.
I guess that maybe because I don't have
sight. I get it.
I get it, but it kind of just sounds the same to me.
It's a visual thing because it, if you want your app to be presented a certain way and not left up to chance, when you're doing user design and user interface design, you want to make sure that the experience that your visual users get is exactly what you want. And so a dark mode allows for developers to say, this is how I want this to look if the user changes the background to dark. What excites... I want to go around and see what items that you've heard of excite you, what you're really into. Jeff, what sounds really cool?
Well, I'm pretty excited about this new Find My app. So they're taking the Find Friends and Find My iPhone applications and they're merging it into one app called Find My. Not only is this going to bring the functionality of Find My Friends and Find My iPhone together, but it's also going to allow you to find devices even if they're not on LTE or on wireless. So it's going to be able to use GPS triangulation and to be able to help you find your device even if it's not on any network whatsoever. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and aren't they rumored to be releasing these little tile-like devices?
Yes, they are. Yep. Yep.
Oh, so that's
kind of why I'm waiting on I'm not retiling because I'm kind of waiting to see.
I only have
you
two
like
of
your
them.
Floor the way it is, do you?
Hey, we don't want to talk about retiling because that's what they're doing at my house.
Ouch! I feel sorry for you.
But also,
so that's pretty funny.
One issue with that I have is I would like to see them build an Android equivalent app because.
Yeah.
If you decide to get rid of your iPhone, you're stuck.
Well, and if they do, that wouldn't necessarily surprise me anymore.
Or a website, even. Like, even a website would be preferable to nothing.
I would be good with a website.
Well, can't you do that? Isn't there...
You can.
I know there's the
find
website
my iPhone,
where you can log
though.
In to find your phone, right?
Yeah, so... Find My iPhone. Not Find Friends, but Find My iPhone will.
I know, but I'm just thinking once they merge it, it would seem that that...
Well, Find My
over.
Friends, they do have, I believe, an iCloud.com, I think.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I'd have to go look it up, but it's a neat feature. I'm kind of excited about it.
As somebody who has four tiles, three of which are almost dead, I wanna know what they're going to do.
So, Jason, how about you? Anything you're excited about?
Well, one of the things I read about is the possibility that NFC is going to gain more functionality, but we've heard this before. But if that's true, that'll be nice, because I don't know if any of you guys have seen this, but I've seen some other rumors that are talking about NFC functionality, and we're starting to see that anyway, because you know I believe it's in the New York transit system you can now use NFC to pay for your
bus passes in
the transit system.
Yeah, and they've got these little stickers, these tap to pay stickers that they've released now for like parking meters and stuff.
So I think that's neat.
And
if NFC really does start to open up more.
And I think Apple's advertising better support for transit systems.
Yeah. I wish they would do something like here in Austin with the readers on some of our buses. And even, I think the trains have readers on them too, don't they?
Yes.
It would be really nice if I could just walk up and tap my phone on it. That would be nice, but not yet.
I want that here too.
Megan, is there anything interesting that you're looking forward to?
I'm mostly looking forward to seeing what they come up with for WatchOS 6. I've heard some rumors about apps and whatnot. Like, I think they're wanting to put on, a books app. That's what I've heard. And I can't remember who posted that. But I saw that about a couple weeks ago. Kind of saw that. I mean, I probably wouldn't use it, but I kind of just found it interesting. I'm also interested to see if they will possibly improve walkie-talkie. And, they're always looking to improve activity, so I'm kind of interested to see what they come up with there. And, I think that's my big thing for me. Oh, and also what they might come up with for HomePod.
Yeah. Let's move on, unless anybody has any iOS things we want to cover. Let's move on to watchOS.
Yeah, I think I'm excited about these new supposed apps on watchOS and a dedicated app store. So it'll make developers have some extra work in the long run, but I'm kind of excited. And new apps for medication reminders and other little medical things that a watch like that should be able to take care of, which is super cool.
I didn't see that.
I like that idea.
That sounds really good.
I wish, too, that we could add a ring to the activity section.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would count your steps for you so that you didn't have to go diving deep into the
You can actually, I believe, ask, how many steps have I walked? Come on.
It's telling you zero, Leo.
I'm glad you said that, Sarah, though, because I've been thinking that, because my mum's had other fitness devices before, and she's always asked me.
You can find it.
It just brought up activity.
It's not that you can't find it, it's just
it used to show me a little bit better, but or maybe it's how
it's
many miles
there,
have
it's
I walked
It's really
today?
Hard to find.
Yeah.
Here we go. If you ask it how many miles you've walked, you're going to get your steps and your miles.
Yeah, but then you still have to, I'd like to see it, kind of like the move ring and the exercise ring and all that. Like, you're, 50% of closing your 10,000 steps today or whatever.
Yeah, I wonder.
I wonder if that's just kind of a lofty thing, but...
Yeah, I wonder if those pedometer apps, like Pedometer Plus Plus, I think, doesn't it have a watch app? I don't know if it will display
on
your...
It does have
your...
a watch app, but it's not...
It's not seamless
I
you would
like
with
much.
The other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like it to all be in one place, and a quick glance will give me that information. I don't want to have to go diving for it.
Yeah. Also, quick aside to say...
Other fitness thing.
Also, a quick aside to say, yes, you just saw that Aaliyah has been extremely lazy today. Thank you.
So,
I know it's not going to happen, but I still always will hope for, even if it doesn't sound very good, the ability to play other audio out of the Apple Watch speaker.
Yes, and notification sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, please
that
give us different
cool.
notification sounds and just
please.
Ping, ping.
It's so unhelpful because you just hear the bing.
Right,
and you're
can't,
like, oh,
you can't.
What's that?
And you don't know what notification it is.
Right,
because you can't via sound determine the difference between an email, a text message, or the timer for your cookies.
Well, I don't know about that, Jason.
Well,
you can tell
the
timer for your cookies.
Timer's got a different sound. Come on now.
And so is the text message come to that.
Well, email
no,
and text
the text
are the
message
same.
And the email sound are the same ding.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't
the
actually tried
they
email
are.
On the watch.
And then most of your other notifications are a little chime ding thing.
Yeah. Not only are the sounds the same, but the haptic feedback is the same, and it would be nice if you could change that also.
And we know that this hardware...
Except for the messages. When the messages come in, it's like a too short
messages and email, again, are the same, and then the rest of your notifications.
And we know that this device can support more, so...
Yes, we do, because we know that Apple has programmed some in related to workouts and other things. Also, give me access to that sound that it makes when it gets done setting up. That is such a nice sound. I want that.
Wait, what? Right?
When
not to mention heart stuff, you get really interesting alerts for that too.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
Yeah, I've received one before when I apparently have had elevated heart rate when I've appeared to be inactive for 10 minutes. I can't describe what it did though, but it was a bunch of taps. I know that.
Don't you remember when I was on the server and my
I didn't hear the sound.
Reported really low.
Yeah, I didn't hear the sound.
And the haptic feedback was really bizarre. So yeah, it was really interesting.
So,
and they've incorporated a different haptic for the detecting a workout, so that we know what they can change.
Yeah, it can be done.
So
I'd also like to be able to customize the alarm sound too.
Go ahead, Jeff. I remember reading that developers are going to be able to have finer control of the haptic engine on the watch and be able to provide different tap type patterns.
That's great.
I hope that's true because, man, I would love to have more tap type configurations for different apps so that I know, for example, you know, instead of hearing a ding, okay, that's nice, but what app was that? You know, it would be really nice to be able to know, hey, you know, you just got this like SOS type tap notification and that means something because it's in this specific app, you know, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Twitter? Was it
so?
Was it WhatsApp? What was it?
I think this will be, you know, we're going to see a lot more for watchOS, but let's go ahead and move on to a bigger item of note here. And guys, we're only talking about some highlights, and there's a lot more that we haven't covered on a lot of these things.
Well, and none of this is definite, guys. Everything that we're seeing is rumors. Now, the reliability of a lot of those is very good, but we don't know anything for sure until it comes out of somebody's mouth on stage tomorrow.
Right.
And even if that happens, I mean, AirPower, anybody, it might not come to fruition, so.
Yeah, but AirPower was a hardware thing.
Yeah, group FaceTime.
Software, I feel like it's...
Group FaceTime.
Oh. Ouch.
Well.
Never mind. Kill my point.
Well, do remember, guys, that a lot of the features that were planned for iOS 12 got pushed to iOS 13.
Yes.
So right, we may see a lot more than has even been talked about.
Exactly.
You know, publicly tomorrow. So who knows? This could be this could be a 3-hour WWDC event tomorrow.
Michael, mm-hmm. That means you must be home from work in time to sit in front of your giant 50-inch TV and tell us what's going on. I will set up a computer and mic for you so that you can sit over there and have direct like input to the Team Talk server. So I'm doing this.
So,
Rudy, you have no excuse.
We're going to talk about macOS next.
Ooh.
Well, really quick, I just want to say, because we were talking about rumors, the fact that all this is rumors, I don't care if, you know, something I hear about in a rumor comes true and I find out at, like, WWDC or the keynote or whatever, because it's still fun to hear it for real.
Oh, I used to care so much. I didn't look at the rumors. And in fact, if somebody started spilling stuff to me before the event, I would literally like make loud noises until they shut up. Like, I just didn't want to hear.
Right, but I'm just like, you know what? There's nothing like hearing it from the source. There really
is. Yes.
Even if it's confirmed, even if we already know what's going to happen, there's just something about finding out about it at the keynote, whether you're watching it virtually or whether you're physically there. Oh, God, that'd be so much fun.
Ooh.
There's just...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just...
And I'm sorry, but nobody does keynotes like Apple.
Amen.
Especially and I'm not Google. Just talking about the program.
Especially Google.
Let's... Sometimes.
All right, Michael's puns are getting ridiculous. Let's move on to macOS.
Yes. Yes. So.
Also, like, brief aside, please give us HomePod betas. Please give us HomePod betas.
Yes, that would be great. macOS.
Yes.
macOS. So we should see the TV app coming, as well as if iTunes is going to pieces, then we should see music and videos and those kinds of things on
and
the Mac.
And shortcuts.
I'm like, it's like upset. Like iTunes is just crying and upset. It's going to pieces.
Oh, poor iTunes.
We'll get to shortcuts.
Shortcuts
in just
are coming
a second.
To the Mac.
Yeah, we'll get to shortcuts.
And,
in just
and with
a
the
second.
TV app, can we get support for those of us who don't have cable providers on air, you know, like antenna, or whose cable provider is not listed in the list of TV providers?
You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were actually talking about a device called Home Run.
I've heard of the Home Run, yeah.
And it allows you to connect Apple TV and other devices to your antenna to be able to watch TV on Apple devices.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Interesting.
It's like $50 or something like that. It's not bad.
I don't think it works with your TV app, but hey, you know.
That's a step in the right direction, but I'm in the no Apple TV club, so.
Well, I think Apple TV is just one device.
It'll work with iOS too, and I think some others. I was looking at that at one point.
Yeah, I have my Apple TV. I just don't use it much unless Sandy's watching something.
So basically, we're gonna get those apps, and like Jeff said, we're also gonna get shortcuts.
Oof, that's gonna make the Mac like. I mean, we already have like things like Automator and those kinds of things. We already have very powerful automation features on macOS, and I think this is only gonna make it better.
Well, and I just hope that Automator doesn't also get.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about
that. Because I've heard about things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I really think, though, that this is going to bring some very nice things to macOS and be able to set things up and configure them with Siri so that all you have to do is just tell Siri to run your shortcut and then you can have something done just very quickly.
Right, that'd be so cool to be able to, like, I mean, this won't work because it won't run anymore, but if it were 64-bit, it would be so cool to be able to be like, hey, S-Lady, run my... I'm doing a podcast or something, and then it would automatically start, you know, whatever software I wanted to record with, maybe Line-In or something. Again, obviously that's not going to happen because it's 32-bit and it won't be supported, but that way I could monitor things and it would just do it all for me. That would be so nice.
Or maybe there's a program I've been meaning to buy from my Mac called Hazel that will do folder actions based on different events. And being able to, you know, convert a batch of images, like you put all the images in the folder or all the MP3s and say, hey, S-Lady, run my convert shortcut, and it will use Hazel and do all that kind of stuff, or, you know, different things like that.
Yeah, it should be nice. And, you know, to say and to beat over the head something that I've said several times, Apple better be thinking of something to help VoiceOver for macOS get back into the realm of current, because I'm tired of trying to use a modern web page with VoiceOver and hearing busy, busy.
Yes.
And
now, you know, now that I think about that, I wonder how much of that is buffer size on the older Macs, and I wonder if you would have better luck on mine.
I don't know, because it seems to be kind of random.
I knew somebody, and I knew somebody, Michael, who had a 12-core Mac Pro with, I don't even remember how much RAM they had, and they said they were still getting busy, and this was like a couple years ago, but
that doesn't
it was
always
still power.
Yeah, I know it's powerful. But the way that the Mac operating system handles hardware is different based on the year and what's developed for it. So it always never hurts to try.
Yeah, it's just hard when I as a VoiceOver user can't be as productive as I could be on Windows. And that's tough. I used to be such a staunch Mac, like, I will use Mac in school. I will use Mac everywhere. And now I'm just like, had to buy a Surface.
So I really am excited to see what they do. I just got my new 2019 MacBook Pro, and I'm loving this device, but I want to see what they do this year. And I'm wondering what kind of integrations they're going to make and changes to the developer side. But also, we're supposed to get support for running our iOS apps on the Mac. How do y'all feel about this, other than the obvious voiceover issues we've had?
Yeah.
Michael's like, will you stop talking about voiceover? I know it sucks.
he's like, I don't use it, so shut up.
I didn't say that.
You were thinking it. Anyway. but yeah.
Hey, just remember, we don't use Zoom, so.
Yeah.
But no, I think if they can polish the experience, it's
stop
going
making
to be
me
very,
have
very
to
cool.
Geospace on text fields. Stop it.
Yeah, that's just that's weird. But I think if it gets more polished, then it'll be really, really nice.
Yeah.
And what's this? Speaking of iOS and macOS integrations, what's this project? Have you guys seen that there's a new project that's been rumored where Apple's going to allow? I think it's called Project Sidecar, where you'll be able to use your. I think it's you'll be able to use like your iPad as a secondary display. For your
yes,
Mac.
That's actually rumored to be coming out tomorrow.
That's that would interesting. Be interesting.
So you'll be able to use your iPad to draw on things on the Mac. So if you have a PDF open, you'll be able to use the Apple Pencil and draw on items on the Mac. Do you guys think we'll see any Windows-related stuff tomorrow?
They're going to have to address something if they're murdering iTunes. I mean, yeah. They're going to have to do something about it because iTunes for Windows is a very significant part of the user base. Because not everybody that's got iPhones has a Mac.
No. And honestly, I'm more comfortable using iTunes on Windows than I am using iTunes on the Mac. And I think it's because that was where I learned iTunes was on Windows.
Sarah, most blind people are throwing their hands in the air in rage at you right now. Most blind people hate iTunes for Windows.
I'm with Sarah, like, because I don't have a Mac. So
yeah,
thank you, Victoria. Thank
but,
you.
But I've used iTunes on macOS, obviously, and I've also used it in Windows. It didn't seem to be that bad. Like, I was able to use it with NVDA when I was having to when something on my Mac was messed up and it wasn't letting me restore my phone and I needed a new iTunes to do it. That wasn't on my Mac, and I don't remember the specifics anymore. But point is, I was able to do it in Windows, and it was fine. I mean, it took me a little bit of getting used to having to hit F6 to change frames or screens or whatever Windows. But
well, it changes. It moves you to different parts of the screen. So I think what a lot of blind people tend to do is tab everywhere. And so, yeah, of course it's going to be slow. Ah, no thanks. But I know a lot of people who have no love for iTunes for Windows. And part of it could be because it's bloated and slow. It's, you know, it's a bit of a resource hog, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, I do think there were a couple versions in the iteration of iTunes that were worse than others.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think part of the problem has been rectified. It's not as bad as it was. I mean, at least for me, you know, I can do what I need to do using either iTunes on my PC or iTunes on the Mac. So I never really understood why it was such a big deal.
I will say, though, that I think VoiceOver navigation does make iTunes on the Mac a lot easier to use for me than it on Windows, but I still was able to do it.
So, do you guys have any final thoughts before we go ahead and wrap up today?
I'm excited about this.
I am too.
I'm ready. I am. I'm going to be setting up at like 10 o'clock tomorrow. I'm going to get everything set up and ready.
I can't wait.
I'm going to get... See, it's always my tradition to order Uber Eats and get McDonald's on Apple Days and get apple pie.
Wow.
I'm going to schedule that order for delivery right around 12:15. And yeah.
Oh, nice.
You maybe won't get donuts. This is then I may get lots of negative feedback on this, but it starts at 12 Central tomorrow, right?
Yeah, 11 Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh, I'm not being bombarded by, how dare you not know what time it starts at?
No, I always have to.
I'm just
think
so
about
offended,
it too,
I'm like, speechless.
But no, like, I always have to think about it too, because I know that, because I'm in Eastern time, so it starts at 1 for me. And I know that Pacific time is 3 hours behind me, but there's just something whenever they're like 10 Pacific, I'm like,
You always think I'm in Pacific time, Jason. It's hilarious.
So, Jeff, what are your final thoughts? Like, what do you think that we should really pay attention to, and what are your opinions on that?
I think we need to pay attention to the things that we've not yet heard. There's always going to be things that they announced that were not part of the rumor mill. I think it's also going to be interesting to see how things are brought together, both on Mac, iOS, and even Windows. I think that's going to be something to watch. And then I think I'm interested to hear about glimpses at the fall. In other words, what software changes are coming in the fall that are going to impact future devices or future services that might be coming. So that's what I'm going to be doing. Now, unfortunately, I'm going to be in meetings throughout the entire
Jeff.
Time that this is going to be going on.
Oh, nice.
So nobody tell me anything. I'm going to be
so
banning all
turn
of
you from all your notifications.
Him tell
like,
him the biggest
turn
part.
Turn on do not disturb.
Just turn
because
do, yeah, turn do not disturb on until you leave work.
Because we'll be talking about it in the WhatsApp group.
Yeah,
and
we will. Yeah.
Especially the
somebody privately text him and say, this is what's happening.
Right.
He might
text
just
every
realize
word
he's
being
asked us
as
not
being
to.
Uttered.
I'm also interested in hearing what happens to shortcuts. I'm really hoping they greatly expand this and add more programmability into shortcuts.
Me too.
So that developers can actually write functions that embed themselves into the functions library as part of shortcuts. I think that would be really interesting. Now, this could be a problem from a security perspective, so that would be my only concern about this. But if there could be a way of doing it that you could, opt in to them. In other words, if you know that, for example, a trusted developer that you know and love is going to be safe, then you can trust those. Maybe. I don't know. That's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But I'm hoping for things like location awareness and being able to do more things on device based on location without having to use things like, the launch app and other types of apps that sort of mimic this type of behavior. I'd like to see that directly embedded. Like if I go to work, I'd love to be able to know, or if I have a meeting and it sees it on my calendar, I'd love it to go, hey, look, you're in a meeting. Go to do not disturb, set your phone to all these different things, and when the meeting is done, your phone automatically lights up and you're fine.
Oh, that would be amazing.
You know,
that would be
coolio stuff.
That would be cool.
Wow.
Well,
and you know, there's something else, right, Jeff, when you were talking about things on device that I was thinking of. Wouldn't it be neat if we could use S thing, because she's not just a lady, on device without having to send all the time information to Apple servers, because we can already, on our newer iPhones, use dictation offline.
Right.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think Siri is also, they've made a lot of hires in this space over the last year or two. And at some point, those people have to come to the table and show us what they're going to bring to the game. Because,
right.
I mean, these are pretty big players in the industry that they've obtained. So I think there's something happening in the Siri space that, one of these years, we're going to get a major, major Siri upgrade.
Exactly.
And maybe this is
one.
It. Maybe
we
this
need
is
one.
It. You know, that would be great.
One.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great. So, and then I'm just hoping for great voiceover and Braille enhancements. And
yes.
Just performance improvements, speed improvements.
Fix brain. You know, just,
and we're and you know we're not going to hear a lot about those probably in the keynote.
No, probably
so,
not.
So the thing that you're going to really want to watch out for are the websites that come out afterward for like the iOS 13 website
WWDC like accessibility session things.
Yes, exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. I was just going to bring that up. So there's the WWDC app. You want to make sure that you have that and actually put the accessibility events on your calendar. You can do that today. I'll be doing that later today. And then you can go watch them either live or you can, you know, just go back and watch them. As long as you've favorited them, they'll be easier to find.
Right.
So there's some really, really cool stuff coming here. And I think it's close enough to mid-year Christmas. So I like it.
And oh, yes. Something else that'll never happen, but I still want it, third-party text-to-speech support for
iOS. That would be cool.
Good luck.
So
that would
let's,
be cool.
Let's get eloquence on the
oh,
iPhone.
You would make so many people happy.
So
no.
Oh, I come on. Actually, guys, there's a lot of people that would love that.
Yes, I would like
that. That would be weird, though. I'm not objecting to it necessarily, but that would be weird hearing
there's
eloquence.
A lot of people that really want that. From a performance perspective, you know... And
honestly, I don't know that it would be any more responsive than Alex or Fred, honestly, because they're very responsive as is.
Who, Fred?
Yeah, Fred.
You're not going to use Fred. Come on.
No. I'm
I
not
like
saying
Fred.
I'm not saying that
Fred
you
would
use
Fred. He just said Fred
all
was
I'm
responsive.
Saying is I don't think eloquence is going to be any more responsive than what Fred already is. So
okay,
I think it would be like using
but
Fred.
Fred is
eloquence.
So
hard. I don't like Fred.
It's hard.
I'm not using Fred. I'm just talking about his response times.
All right.
I like Fred.
Well, Freddy or not, here we come. Right.
Oh, no.
And with that being said,
let's wrap up.
We need to wrap up today.
Yeah.
So, to start us off, Megan, what is your pick for the week and where can people find you online?
My pick for this week is a wonderful app that I came across thanks to Facebook. It is called eDeclaration, and essentially, when you fly into Canada, you know you have to fill out the declaration form and it's paper, and you have to take it and show it to the immigration agent, and take it and show it to the person before you leave the customs section and stuff. Anyway, this takes that step out. You are able to fill out your declaration form on airplane mode and create a QR code and scan it at a machine when you go through customs.
Wow.
I don't really know how it all works yet because I haven't played, like I haven't done the QR code stuff, so I don't know how accessible that part is, but the app is extremely accessible. I love it. I played around with it a couple days after it came out, and I'm really, really liking it. The Calgary Airport has 36 of these units that will accept the QR code and stuff. I'm not sure about airports across Canada. I would have to do some more research into that, but this app just it's a game changer, you guys, because you can actually fill out your own declaration form independently. Even if you need to get help to do the QR code stuff, that's still one step that you can do independently, which I really, really like. You can email me at Megan, that is MEAGHAN at iaccessibility.net, and also same with Twitter, it's MEAGHANH13.
All right. And Jeff, what's your pick of the week and where can people find you?
My pick for this week is Timery. Timery is an application which allows you to interface directly to Toggle. It's Toggle is a time tracking type application, so you can set timers and track how much time you're spending on specific events, and it's fully accessible. They're going to be adding more and more features. They're already working on version 1.01, and I've actually asked for a number of features to be added, so we'll see if they make it in. But Yep, Timery. It's available in the iOS App Store. Timery. You can get a hold of me at jeff.bishop@iaccessibility.net or on Twitter by following Jeff Bishop. JeffBishop.
All right. Jason, what's your pick for this week and where can people find you online?
So my pick is actually an app that Aaliyah told me about, and it's very surprising that I didn't know about it beforehand. It is called Travelier, and it's all one word. It's developed by GAM Software? GAM Incorporated? It's in the App Store. It's a free app. It allows you to listen to a lot of different binaural soundscapes. I gather there's also a Travelier podcast. And it's just a bunch of different binaural soundscapes. The first one I listened to actually was really, really intense for me because I was listening to some trains passing I was listening to it with the Ambios just because they do a very great job of playing back binaural recordings. And oh my God, the amount of time I thought I was about to get hit in the face by a train. Oh, it was really intense, but it was so good. Again, you can download it for free from the App Store. They have an iPhone and an iPad app.
That's Travel Ear.
As yes, in it's E-A-R. Not Travel Ear. It's Travel Ear. E-A-R. I realized I did kind of run that together when I said it, but...
yeah, you did.
It's very, very Several nice. Times. I love this app. It's so cool. Yeah. And as far as where people can find me, you can find me producing content... for iAccessibility, you can email me at jason@iaccessibility.net. You can search for me on Twitter. That's JDE91, Juliet Delta Echo 91. You can also search for me on Facebook. Just search for Jason Earls. And if you do decide to add me, please let me know that you found me from the IAcast Network.
Okay. Sarah, what's your pick and where can people find you?
I'm going to pick the YouVersion Bible app. I enjoy this app. Parts of it are not as accessible as I would like for it to be. For example, when you have people producing verse images, you can see the reference, but you don't always see the image as a described thing. I mean, obviously it pops up as an image. However, what I like about this app and the reason that I use it is because finding different translations of the Bible is easy. You can switch between translations. You can download your favorite translation for the most part to your device itself, and then you can easily look up references to different books of the Bible that you would like to read, and it makes it very simple to start at the beginning of that chapter. So I find it a useful way to keep up with my Bible reading. And the plans, I've done some plans through the app. They're not necessarily the easiest to find, but they're not the hardest to find either. I just usually don't end up doing a plan through the app because the search function is a little complicated. But for what I use it for, I like it. And you can email me at sarah@iaccessibility.net, or you can request to follow me on Twitter as BioInstructor.
All right. Aaliyah, what is your pick for this week, and where can people find you?
My pick for this week is a nice little Belkin adapter, the Belkin Lightning Rockstar, that takes one male lightning port and splits it into two female lightning ports. So for me, with my Ambios or lightning ear pods, sometimes I want to be using them and charging my device at the same time, and this little guy is perfect for that. You can get it for $40, unless you can find a good sale, and there are several running around that you can see throughout the year. You can find it. It's a nice little short dongle. It looks very much like it was made by Apple. It really does. It kind of looks like the iPad camera connection kit. So it looks really nice, really sleek. I will be writing and posting a review on it on our website. So, if you'd like to get in touch with me, you can. You can find me producing content for iAccessibility. You can email me at Aaliyah, that's A-L-E-E-H-A, at iAccessibility.net, and you can follow me on Twitter at BlindCowgirl199.
And Victoria, what's your pick and where can people find you?
So, my pick is an audiobook. It's available on Audible or iTunes, and it's called Harry Potter, A History of Magic. And it's basically about the Harry Potter exhibition in London. It talks about all the myths behind Harry Potter. But what's really interesting is it also has interviews from Stephen Fry, who read the UK Harry Potter books, and Jim Dale, who read them in the US. And it just has their thoughts on it as well, which I think is really good.
I think we want to read that now.
I don't actually have any contact details.
I think we have it.
I want to read that now.
I think we have it. I don't think I've read it yet, but I think we do have
it. It's very good.
My pick this week is a game I've been playing. Unfortunately, I want to get in touch with these guys to see if they can make it more accessible. I've been playing Ingress, and it's a lot of fun, and I've been watching the YouTube videos, and it's a really fun game. Neat thing is, if you are low vision, it is, to me, more accessible than Pokemon Go, because of the dark and lighter colors for the map. And so that might be an option for you if you are a low vision player. But hopefully they will add voiceover support at some time. But it's a fun game, and they advertise it as not being a game, that it's real life, but it's obviously a game. Listen to the story, like on YouTube and different places. It's very interesting and very fun, and they put a lot of work into it, so... but basically you're going around to different spots on the map trying to take over different points of interest, and you join a faction, and it's just really fun. So check it out, Ingress. If you want to get in touch with me, you can by emailing me at Mike Doise, that's M-I-K-E-D-O-I-S-E at iAccessibility.net. You can find all my work there on the website. My Twitter is at Mike Doise. You can find me on Facebook. Just search for Michael Doise. And you can find me producing content at my website, michaeldoise.com, and beyondthegallery.app, and all over the web. So, yeah. All right. That's going to do it for this episode. We cannot wait to enjoy all the new stuff tomorrow. And we will be monitoring our Slack and WhatsApp and everything. So... we will see you for WWDC, and we hope that you take part in our stream and join in. So, thanks everybody for joining us. We'll have this episode out soon, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye,
everyone. This show has been brought to you by the IACast Network. We love hearing from you. Email us at feedback@iaccessibility.net. Got Twitter? Follow us at iAccessibility1. Facebook? Search for iAccessibility. Download our free apps for iOS and Android and keep up with all of our content at iAccessibility.net. If you'd like to donate to our show, hit the PayPal button on our website and get early access to our outtakes with a donation at patreon.com/iacast. Thanks for listening.
Copyright 2019. iAccessibility LLC.